Mark Tallman as he writes the Tallman Education Report for the Kansas Association of School Boards. Good morning, Mark.
Morning, Nick. How are you?
Be sure they're pushing the right buttons. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Nick. How are you?
I'm doing okay. Hey, there were several things that you've written about on the education report that I want to get to here in just a little bit, but I'll tell you, the survey earlier this month that you reported on of Kansas teacher attitudes about how to keep educators in the profession is a big deal because, Mark, really, there are lots of things teachers can do. Most folks who can teach can also do a lot of other things. It happens to be baseball season, so the story I'm going to tell fits that. But my high school English teacher, who also taught at the community college that was closest to us, was a Big Ten umpire. That was one of the things he did on the side, was he was a baseball umpire for the Big Ten Conference there in Iowa where I grew up. I guess what I'm trying to say is teachers have lots of different interests. My physics teacher in high school, physics and calculus, worked making the reflectors that work on the highway so that you can see where things are at before he became a teacher. Keeping teachers in the profession, because the teachers love teaching or they wouldn't be there, it's so vital because they could do lots of other things.
Well, that's true. I mean, teachers, number one, are well-educated in terms of having college experience, having college degrees, often multiple degrees. They have sort of, by definition, communication skills and are used to dealing with a range of issues and people, not only students but parents. They have to have management skills and organizational skills. So, yes, the type of skills a teacher have is certainly in demand by other employers. I think anyone who goes into teaching or lasts very long at all is doing so because that's their top choice. But the concern is simply whether they feel they can continue to do that and are typically not going to have a problem finding employment somewhere else.
Right. And in Kansas, it's clear that we have nearly 60% of Kansas teachers participated in the Kansas Teacher Retention Initiative survey. Then nearly a quarter said they will either leave for whatever reason or retire. And that's another issue that we've also talked about multiple times, I think, over the last several years, Mark, is that the generation that has been working here for the last three or four decades is starting to reach that retirement period, and especially if they've been in teaching since they were young and were in that first round of CAPERS before all the changes happened here about a decade ago, they can retire in their mid-50s or thereabouts and be able to qualify under all the point system and everything.
Yeah, that is an interesting thing about, Kansas policy and maybe a little bit unintended consequences. The CAPER system, like most states, one of the traditional benefits you had for teaching or other public employment is maybe your salary wasn't as competitive, but you had a strong pension system. We've changed that to some degree, as you point out, but one of the downsides of having a strong retirement system that allows you to retire early is people that we need in those positions are really incentivized to leave sooner than they would. Certainly, some teachers want to keep working, maybe feel they're not yet burned out, and others maybe are at a point where it would be best to leave the profession. But we really have created an environment where if you're dissatisfied either because of salary or other considerations, again, you've got options. And while certainly there is an issue of, you don't want to have people working too long or burned out, the more experience you have, will tend to probably make you a better teacher because you know more of what you're doing. You've learned more. You have all that valuable experience. And so replacing a veteran teacher with a new teacher coming in is always a challenge. And that's why the survey you talked about really tried to put a focus on saying, how can we do more to keep teachers that we have, not leaving the profession and continuing to maybe work longer so we don't lose that, particularly as we try to turn around the supply side. If you can keep people working longer, that challenge we have of bringing people into teaching is minimized at least a little bit, and at least for a while. Now, eventually people are going to retire, but yeah, all of these things go into this equation that districts are facing on how do we staff our schools.
So I guess what I would ask, Mark, is did the survey give any clues as to what teachers say is a difference maker? What do they want to be able to stay? It's not just about money.
No, it's not. And I guess this is what's interesting. I think if there's one overriding thing that teachers reported is they want good leadership from their principal, their superintendent. They want to feel listened to. They want to feel they're having an impact. They want to feel they're heard. And what the survey said to the people behind it is, that's really not different than what most people want in other professions. And so certainly being competitive and salaries and things like that will matter to a point. As you know, I've been traveling the state now for almost 2 years talking to districts that seem to be being very successful on certain measures. Overwhelmingly what I hear is when I talk to teachers in those places, when I talk to administrators about what they hear, is that it is the culture of the building makes employees feel valued, makes people want to work together. You often hear, we feel like a family. It's deeper than just a job. It is more than salary, and so how you cultivate that. The reason I say that's a little ironic is sometimes in the political environment, there's this sense of, well, you know, we spend too much on administration. We've got, you know, we got too many principals. We got too much overhead. The balance is you have to have the right people in those positions because the quality of that building leadership and then district leadership, who is responsible for those people, that seems to be a critical part. The other thing I'll mention is the biggest concern that teachers reported, now this is on a statewide average, or maybe I should say what they were most dissatisfied with is the sense of the public perception of teaching or public respect, some of those things, a feeling that education isn't valued the way it used to be. And yeah, those are things that aren't really something, I mean, money again can play into that, but sort of that attitude, that sense of respect, are you valued, are you heard, you know, can you make a difference? Those are things that were very strongly suggested make a difference in keeping teachers.
What would help you stay in the profession? What would cause you to leave the profession? No real surprises here, Mark, other than to say it's just what all of us want. When we hear people say you're doing a good job, especially people that are in the building every day and that are our supervisors, we like that. When we hear the public say, boy, you know, we really don't like what you're doing, especially when they say it about an entire swath, your entire industry. As a member of, quote, the media, end quote, we get our share of slings and arrows as well, Mark, and I can imagine that teachers, when somebody says something about teachers, they don't mean their teacher, but their teacher still hears that.
That's right, and that is kind of the paradox, is that most people, you know, all data says most people think their school is pretty good, but, you know, public education in general is failing. My teacher, my kid's teacher is really good, but we're really worried about the teachers somewhere else. And, you know, in other words, what you know best you tend to think is pretty positive, and maybe that's because it is tied, you know, to you, and yet at the same time there are questions about the overall system. I can't stop you. I have to just mention, as someone who spent 33 years as a lobbyist, you know, there's another profession that, you know, you there's a lot of comments about that aren't always certainly positive. But I do feel your pain, obviously. So, that's one of the things that I think has been a little bit striking about some of this information is there really isn't a lot of mystery. As you say, most of this isn't surprising, but it's also not something people necessarily just do. And I think one of the things that groups like my group, Kansas Association of School Boards, the Department of Education, many other groups are trying to work together to look at these issues, do the survey you talked about, provide better training to our school leaders, from school boards to you know, superintendents, principals, and others, to help them better understand this data and help them learn more about how do you become a better leader of your building, as opposed to, you know, maybe just a manager, or, you know, I'm really good with a budget or something like that. I'm really good at, you know, keeping the building clean. Those are important, but how you work with people, that, you know, the people you lead, that are your employees, as well as, of course, how you interact with others, those are all really critical things, and there's a lot of art to that as well as science.
Well, and it goes back to what employers have said they want to see in kids as well. They want to see these soft skills. Yes. They want to see how they interact with people. Yes. So, and I'm learning as a parent, for good or ill, what they see me do, they're going to do. So if the leadership in schools shows how to be a leader by being one, the kids in those schools are going to see that too, beyond the classroom.
Yes, and again, as I talk about the schools I visit, one of the things that I hear over and over is this idea of how you form appropriate relationships, how you provide that, as you say, that example that goes beyond academics. And so while the measurable things are our test scores and our graduation rates and those things, what I hear overwhelmingly is to get those, you have to pay attention to other factors, both in students and how you provide that leadership. And again, the stronger you are in those areas, now let's go back to being a teacher or an educator of some kind, the stronger you are there, the more likely you are to be able to be successful somewhere else in a different industry that might want you, because that's valued universally. So that comes back to this sense of how do we create a climate where teachers, and particularly our ones that have most successfully managed these things, have these traits that are so important that we're able to retrain and then develop people who can ultimately replace them when that is time.
Well, and the other thing is there's a lot of people who can do the job themselves really well but don't know how to tell someone else how to do it, separate from the teaching too. And that's a whole nother conversation that we don't have time for this morning, Mark. But I'll tell you,
it is
so good to hear that leadership in Kansas is focusing on this. They're saying, how can we keep people in the classroom?
That's right. Big effort around that, and hopefully we'll see some positive results.